Hey everybody, thanks for downloading the show. Before we begin, time to do some plugs and sponsors and all that good stuff. So Monday, July 9th, we'll be doing You, Me, Them, Everybody Live at the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois. Guests include Marcus Gilmer, James Fritz, a personal favorite of mine, comedian Kelsey Huff, music from The Paver, house band Rock Falls, all the lovely Annie will be there, and co-host Esmeralda Leone. That will be a good show. So if you're in Chicago on Monday, July 9th, please stop by the Hungry Brain. On Saturday, July 21st, our next big DC area show. This is a game show. We'll record episode 2 at the Artisphere. Tickets are on sale now. Last time we gave away over $500 in prizes. We're probably going to give away over $500 in prizes this time. Buy your tickets now. It's fun. It's in a big theater. It's cool and hip and blah, blah, blah. All right, moving on. Here's the cool thing that we are giving away tickets to. It's this thing called Riot Fest. It's in Chicago, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. September 14th is at the Congress Theater. The 15th and 16th, it's in Humboldt Park, the actual park. So this is neat. This isn't the usual thing. Some of the performers over the 3 days, this is amazing. Iggy and the Stooges, Elvis Costello and the Imposters, Gogo Bordello, The Descendants, NoFX, Alkaline Trio, Slapstick, Jesus and Mary Chain, Gaslight Anthem, Gwar. Come on, Gwar's going to be there. Built to Spill, Screaming Females, and friends of the show, White Mystery. So, if you're going to be in Chicago in that time frame, go to that festival. We will be there. We'll definitely be there for the Iggy and the Stooges show because White Mystery is also playing that day. It's going to be fun. Buy your tickets now. Okay, moving on. Our last announcement before the actual show begins. This is so awesome, and I'm very, very, very excited. You, Me, Them, Everybody get to book comedy shows for this thing called Brilliant Corners of Popular Amusement. And it's this carnival circus type thing. It's not a festival. It's definitely better than that. It's in these weird, cool tents in Chicago, near Chicago and Halstead. Like last year, they staged Peter Pan 360. So that kind of gives you the scope of this. Anyways, amazing music and then comedy shows following that. Zola Jesus, you might not know who she is. That's okay. Look her up. She's hip. She just played like the Guggenheim or something. So Zola Jesus is on Friday, September 21st. Following Zola Jesus is John Cale. John Cale, Velvet Underground. Matt John Cale. Then it's a comedy show for free. I'm hosting this one. I get to curate the lineup. I'm so happy with it. It's the Putterbus Sisters, Drew Michael, and James Fritz. This is cool. The comedy show, completely free. I don't know why, but I'll take it. Yes, please come by. So, free show, September 21st, in a giant tent, following one of the dudes that founded Velvet Underground. So that's what we're up to. It's fun. Without further... Okay, let's go back in order, and then we'll get to the show. I apologize. Monday, July 9th, Chicago, Hungry Brain. Please come. It's free. Yay, it's fun. We'll drink and have fun. We'll dance. We won't dance. We'll talk. We'll talk about dancing. Maybe. July 21st, this is a game show returns. Buy your tickets now, please. Riot Fest. Oh, Iggy and the Stooges. Riot Fest. Go to that. That's cool. And here's the one. This is amazing. Brilliant Corners of Popular Music. I'm only talking about the 21st. There's shows on the 22nd, 23rd. We'll get to those in future shows. I just wanted to do a little short announcement before we begin the show. This show was recorded live at the Wonderland Ballroom on June 29th, 2012. It was insanely hot. It's still kind of insanely hot in DC, but oh my god, and it really set this weird funk over the show. I listened back to it. It's one of my favorites. I love it for all the wrong reasons. Adam Friedland, oh, it's transcendent to me what he does on this show. Armando, my good friend Armando took some amazing photos of the show. You can see us all sweating in our glory. All of that information, all those photos, all the things I just talked about, all of it can be found on You, Me, Them, Everybody.com. If you're still listening, I hope you are. I mean, if you're not listening, you have no idea what I'm saying because you can't hear me. Anyways, if you're still listening, thank you. Here's the show. There's no more ads. Blah, blah, blah. Hope you have a wonderful night and see you in hopefully one of two cities.
Hey, everybody. Hi, my name's Brandon. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. There's air conditioning. Let's all wake up and have a good time. How is everyone? Fantastic. That makes me happy. Holy shit, I don't know how you people live here. This is nuts. I'm relatively new. I'm not going to get used to this at all. Here's my problem with the heat. It's, yeah, I get it. I'm not comfortable around nude people in general. I found this out the other day. I finally have a job that I like, and I finally have a situation where I get to use a gym. First world problems on a daily basis. It's wonderful. And because I use the gym every day, I have to shower in said gym every day because you don't want to be that guy. So I go to the shower, blah, blah, blah. I get incredibly uncomfortable around nude men. Like I want to fight them, but don't touch me, fight them. You know, it's a weird thing. So I'm like, am I homophobic? Is this the definition of someone that's afraid of sexuality? Kind of. Here's why it's not just dudes. I go to a beach. I go to where lovely ladies are in the things and the stuff. And I'm uncomfortable around lovely, almost nude women as well. That's a problem. That's a big problem. I went to a high school that was Catholic, which means I never had to take gym class. I got out of gym for 3.5 years because I was a poor kid. When you're a poor kid and you go to a Catholic school, they give you, like, jobs to do, like clean the tables. The same jobs kids that go to detention get, we got those because we're poor, right? So I worked, giant air quotes for the listener at home, I worked in the library for 3.5 years. That just meant I printed out tablature of Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana songs. Our guitarist knows what I'm talking about. None of you do. That's okay. You don't need to understand. The point is I never was around nude men. I played sports my entire, like, childhood. Played Pop Warner football. I was the fucking starting quarterback. I was the coolest rapist there. I was the best. I never showered because it's Pop Warner. You go home. I played soccer and hockey in high school. Never showered with them because hockey players always smell bad. They don't shower. And soccer players, you're on the road. You just go home. I'm almost 30 and I'm uncomfortable around naked people. And I've never willingly taken my shirt off unless there was water involved or I'm about to be intimate with a partner, and then I'm cool with. I'm not like trying to beat the shit out of my fiance whenever we're nude. No, we're fine together. Her and I, aces. Couldn't be better. She's a 10. I love her dearly. Anybody else, most beautiful woman in the world, get the fuck away from me. That's not good. I figured out today the last time I took off my shirt willingly, and that was when I was 10 years old. When I was like 5 years old to about 11 years old, I would throw a baseball at the stairs of the house for where I grew up. Only child, that's what I did. I pitched complete games. Whenever I pitched a complete game, I always played as Greg Maddux, Hall of Famer, I think, no, maybe, future Hall of Famer for the Chicago Cubs. I played complete games, which means I threw 27 outs. But since I was an only child, I threw at the other team as well. I always played against the Cardinals or the arch rival, the Cubs. It doesn't matter. Between games, I would go in the bushes, take off my shirt, and give imaginary press conferences to no one. So the last time any of you could have seen me without a shirt on was a 10-year-old me talking to no one in the bushes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why I host a talk show in a bar. I demand attention in very odd ways, and hopefully by the end of this you'll understand why we do this. If not, at least it's air conditioned and there's drinks, okay? It could be a lot worse. It's going to be a weird one, not necessarily a fun weird one, just a weird one. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it together. I'm sweating. I can feel my thighs sweating. That's not normal. You shouldn't be able to feel anything like that. Anyways, Ian's the house band. He's going to play some tunes to make it slightly less awkward when I walk 3 feet away. So, Ian, will you play some songs while I walk 3 feet? Brilliant. All right, that's good. That works out well. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Brandon?
I'm okay. I just talked about my lonely childhood of throwing a baseball against the stairs for 6 years. What did you do as a child?
I had a little brother, so I wasn't so lonely, but it wasn't all that different either. We would set up furniture around the basement.
Okay.
And I was always Sting or the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
And he was always the Macho Man or Hulk Hogan.
You didn't
Hogan.
Say you were wrestling. You just said you were Sting or the Ultimate Warrior.
Right. Well,
Were you wrestling?
We were wrestling.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, we would watch like Raw on Monday night. And then
understood.
We would take our favorite moves and beat the hell out of each other on the couch.
Okay, see, the Ultimate Warrior is definitely my favorite wrestler. Fun fact, believes 9/11 was an inside job and legally changed his name to Warrior. So he can still keep merchandising under that name. That's a true fact. If you're ever bored at work, YouTube Warrior, DePaul University. There's this wonderful 50-minute speech he gives about how 9/11 was an inside job and he hates gay people. It's fantastic. Big Warrior fan. Continue.
I didn't even know he could speak that long.
All he does is speak. He's a brilliant orator. Another quick Ultimate Warrior story. This isn't scripted. That's why we're professionals. I once published a published. I once recorded a podcast explaining why the Ultimate Warrior was actually responsible for 9/11. Here's why. Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, SummerSlam 91. Okay? Very important day in all of our history.
I've seen that match.
Exactly.
A lot.
Ultimate Warrior has a 90-second psych-out video. Everyone had psych-out videos. I'm going to destroy you, etc. The Ultimate Warriors was about how Hulk Hogan should take controls of the plane and fly into all the buildings surrounding Madison Square Garden. Look it up. It's brilliant. Big Warrior fan. Continue.
So we would do that, and we would do, like, you know, climb up on the couch and do these, like, flying, like, Rey Mysterio Jr. flip moves. And
oh, yeah.
Just kick the hell out of each other.
That's nice.
One time, I think I hit him too hard, and he decided to grab the nearest thing that looked like a trash can.
That is what happens in wrestling for the ladies.
It was one of those big, like, popcorn tins that you get at Walmart with
three
different kinds.
Oh, yeah. Wait, really quick, side note. Which was the popcorn that was always gone first? In my household, it was cheese.
We would go through the cheese and caramel about even.
Oh, okay. Did you do the... Okay, understood. Yeah. A Chicago mix.
A Chicago mix,
that is
exactly.
A Chicago mix.
So he smacked me over the head with that.
Wait, okay. He smacked you with the round... Well, obviously, they're both round. But the lid or the can?
The can.
Okay.
The can. Full can, like...
Was there popcorn still in the can?
No, it was empty.
Okay.
We used it to hold Legos, but it didn't have any Legos in it.
That's another important fact. I'm glad you included it in this story.
He hit me with the side that has a little seam on it, and it sliced my head open.
Yes!
We had no idea for like 15 minutes until our babysitter came downstairs to check us out, and apparently the back of my head was covered in blood. My hair was just like matted, stuck to my head.
How old were you at the time?
I want to say I was like 9.
Was it a point of pride? Did you feel awesome?
Oh, I felt so fucking rad.
That is true. Quick note for the kids at home. It's really cool when you slice your head open and don't clean up the blood. Once you clean up the blood, instantly not cool. It's boring. You got injured. With the blood, you're going to pick up all the other 9-year-old girls in town. You're going to have a cool time. You're going to wrestle with them. It's going to be a fun experience together.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I got 7 stitches in the back of my head.
See, you skateboarded as well.
Yes.
Do you think this was, like, because you got 7 stitches in the back of your skull at 9, what's the worst that can happen if you're doing tricks and stuff?
Well, between that and then, like, the years of being a goalkeeper playing soccer and getting kicked in the face and stuff.
Wait, why were you getting kicked in the face?
Because I didn't fuck around. I would go after the ball and people would...
Try
to kick the ball.
Because when you say something like, I don't fuck around, I get kicked in the face a lot, that doesn't sound right. Like, there's something horribly wrong in your life. Like, an abusive parent.
Some people might consider it that. But, I would dive in, go after a ball at someone's feet, and they would still try to kick it.
So you're an athletic man.
I was an athletic man.
Things change, don't they?
Yes.
That's okay. Now you're an athletic musician.
Something like that.
And you're going to play our first guest on. Thank you so much. Ian doesn't usually talk. Put your hands together for Ian. Thank you, Ian. Coming to the stage is someone that is familiar with politics. I know we're in D.C. and you're all like, I am too. I'm not. I don't care. This man's going to make me care. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the one, the only Jim Newell, everybody. Jim, come on up. Jim.
Hi.
Are you a fan of Van Halen?
No.
No, he answers no. That's fair. Did you know that song that he just played?
No. Was it one of the famous ones?
It was one of the famous ones.
Crap. Okay.
Could you hold the mic closer?
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Is that all right for everyone? I'm not used to. I just usually type on my computer all day. I don't actually ever talk to people. So.
Why don't you talk to people, Jim Newell?
It's too much work, basically.
Why is it work? Is this work for you right now?
No, this is great fun for me right now, but
Your face lies, Jim Newell.
Yeah, no. This is nice here. I've never been at a talk show before. So thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Jim Newell. Okay, Jim, you used to write for Gawker, the politics guy. I'm not going to talk about that. Don't worry. Now you still write about politics for a bunch of different things that people know about. Yes?
Yes.
Fantastic. What are some of those things that people know about? What are some of those places that you write for?
I write I used to work, I was at Gawker, and then full-time before that I was at Wonkette. Now I'm back at Wonkette writing 3 days a week, and I also contribute some stuff to Salon and The Guardian.
And those are not, like... See,
thank
the
you.
Guitarist completely
that.
Agreed. Okay.
I'm going to try to make a blogger interview entertaining. So,
wait.
Know.
When you say... But those aren't just like blogs, you know? Like, those are actually established places that people know and care about. As you roll
sometimes,
your eyes about
yes.
the people that pay your bills.
I love all of them.
Okay.
When they exist.
Okay,
yes.
So what's the most recent story that you published?
The most recent thing I did was I was just doing some Wonkette posts today. I can't remember what either of them were at this point, but...
You're a true journalist.
I've been drinking here for some time, but yesterday I did a live blog of the Supreme Court healthcare ruling.
Okay.
So live blog, you just post some sort of silly update every few minutes about what's happening.
Is politics silly?
What politics is frequently silly. I would say it's silly right now and for the last 5 years or so. Yeah.
When did you start writing about politics?
I started writing about politics when I got a job at Wonkette to write about politics. I didn't know shit before then.
Really?
No.
What was your major in college?
It was English, so read books, dumb books. And then it was... I had a history minor.
Okay.
I originally started out wanting to actually get a political science degree, but is anyone a political science major here?
I was a political science major.
You are? Okay, you were too.
I was a poli sci.
I couldn't stand the other political science people.
Why?
I don't know. They would always mention, you know, John Locke or something when talking about some relevant event. Like, John Locke doesn't fucking matter right now, you know? Or like Rousseau or... It's just stuff that you read in, like, a high school summary. I don't know. I couldn't stand it.
I was a political...
Same with philosophy. I didn't like philosophy.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, so you just didn't like cigarettes and diners?
What? No, I love cigarettes and diners. And still do.
Why weren't you a philosophy major? That's every philosophy major I ever met.
Yeah, I don't know. Same type of crowd that thought what they were majoring was important. I don't know.
I was a poli sci major because I listened to Bad Religion in high school.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I was an English major because I liked Hemingway. And I liked the fact that
you were a double major?
I was a triple major.
Wow.
Wait. Wait till you hear the last one. Women's studies.
Oh, come on.
They all cross-listed.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't take one extra class. That's all true. That's why we have the jobs we have.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's why we're in a bar.
That's why we're in a bar talking, drinking, making people look at us and demanding attention. This is how we live.
It's true, yeah.
All right, Jim. So if politics are so silly, why should anybody read what you write?
God damn it, I don't know.
All right, well, wait.
I try to explain. I don't think it's all silly. I do think there are a bunch of silly things, though, and I point those out. I try to point out the good occasionally.
Okay, what is your most favorite piece that you've written in the last 6 months?
I wrote something for Salon going over the worst pundit predictions of the primary cycle.
Okay.
And, I mean, that was basically I had the whole internet to choose from. I mean, it was because every pundit who said anything in the primaries.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they were so wrong.
Are
like,
you
Romney can't win. Huckabee's going to come in and take his delegates.
Are you a pundit, then? Because you give your opinion. You don't just straight report.
Yeah, no, when I give my opinion, I am a pundit. When I just type up the latest news, I am not.
You're a reporter.
What I don't do is call people. Never call anyone. That's rule number one of journalism.
Whoa. That's the opposite from what I've been told.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no. Call people. That's what you should do.
Okay, what should an aspiring journalist do besides major in English?
Go to law school.
Why?
Go to law school.
Why? So they could become a lawyer?
Be a lawyer and make money. Or go and be a doctor or something.
So don't ever be a journalist.
Actually, don't go to law school. Go to medical school. You can't actually get a job from law school. Anyway.
No, not anyway. Let's stay on this track here.
Yeah.
You don't seem to like your life right now. But that's okay.
What? It's fine. I get to be here on Friday nights, you know? I don't know what else.
Okay.
No, I am. I enjoy writing about politics, but I don't know. It, it seems like this election, it seems like everything that's needed that needs to be discussed has been discussed. And that's basically what Congress will do after the election. They're going to, if it's all Republican House and Senate, they're going to try and do some pretty aggressive Paul Ryan type welfare state trimming. If it's Mitt Romney, he'll sign those bills. If it's Obama, he won't. Everything else, they'll be pretty similar, I assume.
So will anything actually get done?
What? Will anything get done? Yeah, stuff will get done. It depends on who wins, though. I mean, if it's...
Who do you think's going to win?
You know, I would have to say right now, Romney.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Wait.
What?
He's not saying
what?
He
That's
wants
not my
him
opinion.
To win.
Although wait, he's a you very want, handsome man.
You want him to win then, right? Obviously.
What? Yeah, no,
yeah,
I
obviously.
Want to win.
You
I want to marry into his family.
Yeah.
Even though he's, yeah, I don't know.
Does he? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. However I can get in there.
Yeah, whatever. We'll take who we can get for the yeah. Romney clan. Okay.
I think he'll win because...
Why do you think he's going to win?
Well, I think he'll be close. I think... I mean, you can look at any little mini scandal each week. Like,
yes.
Who says something silly on CNN or something.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. A lot of these things don't matter.
Are you a nihilist?
Well, no, I'm not. But these mini scandals, they come into a news cycle and then they're gone 2 days later. I think, and this is cynical, I'm sorry, I think Romney has more money.
He does.
I think when the economy is this bad, it's very hard for an incumbent president to win.
Okay.
So I would say it's, you know, 55-45, Romney has a chance to win. Not the outcome of the election, which will be 51-49 or something.
But if you had to bet, you put money on Romney right now.
Yeah, and they're also suppressing a lot of possible voters right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Are you going to keep writing about politics?
What? I think so. Why?
You don't seem to be very happy.
No.
Are you happy, Jim Newell?
What? I'm very happy writing about politics.
Okay.
Yes.
Where's your ideal job?
I don't know.
Okay.
Where's, I don't know, wherever they let you write about whatever you want.
You kind of...
For a lot of words, for a lot of money, wherever they do that, I don't know.
So you just want to be rich?
Yeah, that's all it is.
That's cool.
I mean, I don't know. I would like to, right now at least, I would like to do more getting off the couch instead of just reading other stupid websites to see what's happening in political
news. Do you have a workout regimen?
Work? You mean exercise?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Why? That's hard. I can't
no,
do
you
that.
You could do it, Jim Newell.
Well,
if you
want to
get out of the couch, you get off the couch, buddy. We can do this together.
I don't
like,
think so.
Listen, like Mitt Romney's always said, yes, we can. We need could hang out and drink and smoke cigarettes and be cool.
Right. Kennedy never said we may go to the moon.
No.
That's what people say.
No, he said... Let's fuck people and then hide murders. Irish, Catholic. And he got shot in the head. He wasn't a terrible president. He was a medium. He summoned the dead.
I don't hate my job, I swear to God.
No, it's okay.
So what's your next question?
You're definitely a Democrat then, right?
I vote for Democratic people in the elections. I haven't voted since 2006, though.
Why? Because your job?
What? That's what I say.
Okay.
I could vote. But come on, it was like 94% voted for Obama last time. I was like, you know, if I want to persuade people, I'll go and type some bullshit on the internet. And then that will change three people's minds. And then, you know, and then I'll have made up for it.
Jim, the reason why I asked you on the show is so you could make me care about politics.
Oh. Well, you should care about it. It doesn't mean it's always going to be happy.
All you said was it's all bullshit.
Well, it is, but you have to understand how the bullshit works. I don't know.
Okay, dummies, layman's guide. Like, what do I need to understand that I might not?
Who?
What do I need to understand about politics in order to care? I'm serious.
Well, I mean, I think you need to, one, understand that everyone's statements, like the statements that they release to press secretaries, mm-hmm. are going to be spun in their favor.
Of course. I'm with you.
But some people just see that a lot of the spitting and just tune out. And, I can't necessarily blame them.
Okay.
But it's I do think that regardless of how exciting or the class, the quality of the election that you're doing, you need to know that there are choices that are being made. I do think that's important. Like, I mean, right now, I'm not really a big That's my friend Liz, who just brought
us
shots.
Hey, Liz! I thought I like the idea of a stranger just bringing shots to us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not... I'm not...
Oh, thank you.
That's great. So no, nice this is my you. Friend Liz, everyone.
Hey, Liz, how are you?
Yeah.
Wait, wait! She just brushed... I thanked you! Thank you!
Anyway, what I was saying, I was saying, why should you care about politics?
Why should I care about
politics? Well, I don't think it means that you need to be particularly excited about Obama or Romney if this is a particularly Republican crowd. I don't know.
Look around, buddy.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, you should still vote for him. I don't even really like Obama personally anymore, which is the opposite of, I think, how a lot of people feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll vote for him just because I think, you know, he has a pen and he will either sign or veto insane Republican things that are going to come in the next couple of years with regard to the budget.
Okay.
Although, I mean, there are pluses and minuses. I think one thing I think about is, like, now, and I know this is a terribly cliched way to introduce something, but because of the internet.
Yes.
Like, you can think of maybe 20 things that you like about a politician, 20 things you don't, and it can be very hard then to get excited about that candidate or see any reason to do it. Like, okay. I think about voting, like, if I were voting for Obama, I would do it a lot because of health care. But then there are other things, like his housing policy, his housing refinance policy, and his the unchecked expansion of the drone war. I mean, those are very negative things.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, you have to make a choice. Like,
so you can't win is what you're saying.
Well, I think if you're going to win, it's not actually coming through voting. It's mostly coming through organizing around things.
Okay, so organizing, you're a fan of that.
And promoting causes that to make it so that the president is forced to accept it. Like, Obama is not your secret friend. He is very unsentimental, but he's pretty easy to figure out. Like, if there's enough...
So he's like a Radiohead.
Yeah, exactly. He is the president... He's the Radiohead president,
yeah.
I think. The first one.
Yeah.
That's I think I actually read something that said that in 2008, when there was a lot of shit being written, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's very, you know, if you get support for something, he'll do it. He doesn't rarely go out of his way to,
That doesn't seem like a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing, but it's something you need to understand.
What music do you listen to, Jim Newell?
So when I started out writing music, I that's why I started out writing this. I wanted to be a music writer.
Oh, why? Yeah.
I don't know. No, but this was in college in 2003.
When did you graduate?
2007.
You're younger than me, Jim Newell, by 2 years.
Well, at least I get something out of this.
There
I know
you
now.
Go.
I'm not the oldest person in Washington, D.C.
No.
I have roommates who are 22, so, you know.
Do you feel old?
I do.
Yeah. Well, you're a lot older than them.
I am.
They got to grow up sometime, you know?
I have to look after them.
You do. What do they do?
They are actually both in political media, too. They're both reporters for local publications.
What? Let's give them a plug.
Yeah, okay. Everyone read Daniel Strauss for The Hill and Jamie Fuller at The American Prospects.
Nope, don't do it. I don't like those people.
No, I don't read them. They're actually horrible
That's
writers.
That's true. But they're horrible people and horrible writers.
Yeah.
You have to go home and talk to them.
Yeah, but I music. We're talking about music,
of
right?
Of course, that's
this
all
is what I want to. I don't know how much time we have left here.
40 minutes.
I mean, I'm glad we're not talking about politics anymore.
Fine, we'll just talk about music.
This is much more exciting.
Okay.
Music. I was editor of the music section in 2004, 2005. So I basically downloaded every album that came out in those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I find my musical taste, though, sticking to that period.
Okay.
So it's like new albums from bands who are around in that period.
So like the Arctic Monkeys are a big...
Well, that was actually a little bit after my time.
I thought
that was an end of an era, but...
God. You're very contrarian, aren't you, Jim Newell?
I'm just trying to have a good time.
What's your favorite band?
My favorite band is probably Destroyer.
You're too white for me right now. Mine is Nirvana.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's good.
I know. It's the best.
No, a couple gradients of whiteness there. A couple.
Yeah, they're way poorer than Destroyer.
Yeah.
Therefore, they're better.
Yeah. No, you're probably right.
I know. I am right. Jim, if I could describe you in one word, I'd say excitement.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're a good man. Thank you for doing this. Would you want your children to be a journalist?
No.
Jim, I'm going to get you off the stage, but just let me tell you, it gets better, man.
Thank you. I needed that.
Yes. I will for you because you brought
booze
up.
I can take a question from the one person who's a friend.
Come on, what's up? What's the question? Do you think the healthcare law, upholding it, John Roberts, was it a sacrifice for Citizens United? Go.
Basically, was the healthcare ruling to make up for the city the shitty decision that was Citizens United? No, I don't think so. I think it was so John Roberts could kind of clandestinely destroy the Commerce Clause, but also uphold the current favorite. So, thank you, Liz.
I have no idea what just happened. It sounded like code to me. Final question. Was Bad Religion wrong about anything?
No, I was not born by Bad
Religion. They're still around.
Yeah.
They played the ball like 4 months ago.
Yeah. I bet there were a lot of young people there to see
There
that.
Were, okay? Yeah. There were. It was a wide demographic from 10 to probably 70.
I saw Guided by Voices at 930 Club a couple years ago. Yeah, and they were like all 50 years old, and I was the only one there like screaming with a bunch of these guys. It was pretty fun. So we've all been there.
Seamless segue from Jim Newell. Bad Religion is the only band that I follow in terms of politics. Whatever they say is what I believe.
Okay.
It was true at 14, it's true at 29.
You should believe whatever I say from now on. Just believe whatever I say.
Fine. Done.
I wake up hungover at 2 p.m. each day, but you should just, you know, believe whatever I say in the first thing I write in the morning, afternoon.
All right, cool. Done. That's how I'll follow politics. Please, gentlemen, put your hands together for Jim Newell. He just woke up. That song's called About a Girl. I want to point out really quickly, Ian graduated college with a degree in journalism, so that's true. That's a true fact.
Don't become a journalist.
Don't become a journalist is what we're saying. Coming to stage is one of my absolute favorite comics. Give him your ears. Give him your eyes. Please put your hands together for the one, the only, Adam Friedland, everybody. Adam, it's all you, buddy.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? Are you done? Okay. My parents told me that comedy isn't a career, and they're right. There's no money in this. So in order to survive, I've taken a couple of corporate sponsors. And I'm contractually obligated to mention them at the beginning of every show. So if you'll take a couple minutes, I just want to thank my sponsors. First off, I want to thank Goldman Sachs Golden Slacks. Don't worry, we're not just doing short-term derivatives trading. We also make pants made out of 24-karat gold. That's Goldman Sachs Golden Slacks. Hey guys, do you have an iPhone? Well, the iPhone 4S has a camera that's 8 megapixels. But if you don't want to be a dick, you could put it into an application that makes it look shittier. Instagram. Thanks, Instagram, for all your support of my art. Final sponsor is Kony 2012. Not the movement against the guy, but the actual guy. Listen, guys, Charles Coney got a really bad rap, and he wants you to know it. So if you guys are trying to find a really nice grandfatherly figure, make it Charles Coney 2012. Thanks. So that's the sponsors section. I'm gonna put this back in the mic stand, actually. I'm going to gesticulate. For the audience at home, I was using my arms, flailing them in the air. So anyway, guys, I've been feeling kind of down on myself recently, so I started seeing a therapist. My therapist is from Brooklyn, actually, and he's been teaching me this new coping mechanism. Forget about it. Just forget about it. Really, that's all I need to do? Yes, forget about it. I was assaulted by two senior high school girls when I was a freshman. Just forget about it. Really? Okay. So I've been taking this the other way, and I've kind of periodically started forgetting about everything in my life. My keys give me anxiety. Forget about it. My middle name gives me anxiety. Forget about it. This performance is giving me anxiety right now. I'm probably going to go to the bar and forget about it. That got a laugh. You fucking assholes. You like the fucking bar? That was so hack. You guys laugh at that? Okay. What else is going on? Hey, guys, on a day like today, I think it's a wise decision to wear those pants that you can zip off into shorts. Best part about it is there's three ways you can wear them. You can wear them as pants, you can wear them as shorts, or you can just wear the bottom parts around your ankles. The only awkward thing is that my penis is showing when I do that. Just my little baby penis. My little baby penis. I don't have so much of a big penis, but I have an incredibly hard penis. It's like diamonds, the hardest substance on earth. He told me to say that just now. I said it at an open mic earlier in the week, and people were like, that's still awkward. That's still making me uncomfortable. No, seriously, my penis is fine. It's not, but it's... Are we still talking? You want to still talk, everyone? Why do y'all have such judging eyes? You want me to talk about my penis the rest of this fucking performance? My penis is a woman, actually. It's not a man. It's a weird thing about me. It's not a joke. It's just a fact. It identifies as a woman. Guys, sex and gender is a social construct. Remember that. Remember that. Remember the Titans, Denzel Washington. All right, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo, guys, because it's against my religion, the religion of Judaism. I'm not a practicing Jew. I've made perfect. So the tattoo that I'm considering getting is two adjacent tragedy masks. Because I think it says a lot about the duality of man. I don't know what that means. I just think it sounds really smart when I say it. Woo! Did you guys just go to a funeral? Is it the hottest day of the year? What's going on? What is going on? I don't get house music. What's fucking going on with that? It's invasive. It's loud. I don't like loud. I don't like it. I don't like it. My friend says, "Don't worry, Adam. In order to get it, you need to take ecstasy and go to a warehouse party." So I took ecstasy and I went to a warehouse party. And there was a guy standing at the door and he said, "You're gonna like the way you look, I guarantee." I don't know what's going on with that. There were a lot of suits. There were a lot of suits. It's a Men's Warehouse reference. The commercial. The commercial for Men's Warehouse. Do you have TVs? What do you do with your spare time? Do you just work? What's wrong with you fucking assholes? Laugh more at me. I'm hilarious. I was at home a couple weeks ago. My dad and I caught a marathon of Locked Up. Have you guys ever seen that show? It's about life on the inside, behind bars, and prisons. Here's the thing I don't get about prisons. Here's the thing I don't get about prisons. I don't understand why it's like a rule that you have to get raped in the butt. This isn't a knock on consensual, loving butt sex, because I think that could be a very beautiful thing between loving people. You don't even have to love each other. If it's consensual, just go for it, okay? But I don't understand why... Jesus Christ, you're making me so upset, all of you guys. I'm in the middle of a joke. This woman, oh my God, her face, she's in shock. No, I'm looking at you. Yeah. Don't turn around. Anyway. It's like getting raped in the butt is part of the rules of prison or something. I'm sure it's against a rule somewhere. I don't get why a prisoner doesn't just go find a responsible adult and tell. That's what I would do. I'd tattletale. Tattletale my way to the top of the prison food chain. Now you might say, snitches get stitches. You know who else gets stitches? Guys that have been held down by 25 neo-Nazis. And that's what would happen to me, because I'm a brave white person. I've seen American History X. That's what happens to people when they stand up to racism on the inside. I'm a brave white person. Just tattletale. Jesus Christ. Brandon. You know what? In the audio podcast, this is going to kill. I just want to say, I'm really upset all of this thunderous laughter I've been getting isn't getting picked up on the microphone. Because it's going to sound like no one's enjoying this. You're laughing at that, all right? But no one's enjoying this part. All right. This is fun. I'm sweating my ass off right now. Ugh. So when I was 13, my family got America Online, and my dad sat me and my sister down, and he said, "Listen, I was watching 2020 Barbara Walters with your mom. I saw a special. Don't go into chat rooms. There are men in chat rooms. They're going to find out your name. They're going to meet you after school, and then they're going to molest you. Don't go into chat rooms." But I was a curious boy. And through a process of logical deduction, I realized that I could go into lesbian chat rooms. Because then there would be no chance of encountering a rapist man. Right? Right? I'm a genius. So I used to do this from about, I don't know, like 12 to 14. I would go into lesbian chat rooms. I would pretend to be a lesbian. And I would meet other lesbian women. And we would proceed to have cyber sex. And for some reason... these lesbian women were very eager to have cyber sex back with me, and I couldn't figure it out. So I was telling a friend of mine this in college, and I came to find out that literally every single one of my friends in our age demographic also went in to lesbian chat rooms. So in essence, I was having simulated lesbian cyber sex with 13-year-old boys. As a 13-year-old boy. He's like, "Hey, like my pussy's so wet. You know, my pussy is also so wet. could we just focus on your pussy right now? It's kind of weird. I'm already all so wet. You know, just my pussy's fine. Your pussy, I just want to go to town on your pussy. No. Don't worry about it. I'm a giver. I'm going to please your pussy. I'm going to please the shit out of it. Is that gay? What is that? What am I? What am I? Answer me. I'm an angry comic. What else? Listen, I don't discriminate. You could be my friend if you're GBLTQ. I don't care if you're gay, bacon, lettuce, tomato. I don't know what Q is. I think it's cucumber. A lot of sandwich fans in the house tonight. The sandwich material is on fire. I'm sweating just from all these sandwich references. What else do I have? Listen, guys, I get what's going on right now. You don't like my comedy. You don't like it because I don't play by your rules, okay? I'm not your dad's observational comic. I'm not talking about fucking airports, okay? I'm not talking about what's the deal with fucking healthcare. I don't care, okay? I'm a bad boy. I'm bad boy comedy, okay? That's what I am. I'm a bad boy, okay? You can see it in my eyes. You can see it in my dress, backwards sports hat, backpack over one shoulder, hanging out with the bad boys at the Panera Bread Co. after school. I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy about Netflix DVDs. I've had Made in Manhattan for 3.5 months, okay? I hear the next movie, Bridge on the River Kwai, on my cue. Excellent film. I don't care. I'm a bad boy. Bad boy, bad boy, bad boy. I'm a bad boy. Guys, I got a question. What's a bad boy's favorite tennis player? Okay? Any ideas, you fucking corpses? McEnroe, Johnny Mac won the career Grand Slam. Wimbledon, France, the other two. And he did it all with a stinky attitude. He's a bad boy. What's a bad boy's favorite record label? Correct! Bad Boy Records, established 1993, Sean Puffy Daddy Combs. What's a bad boy comedian's and bad boy in general's favorite action comedy? Wrong! Problem Child! That's good, sir. Thank you. Back at you. That tank top. Excellent. Get a haircut. Okay, thanks. All right. Get a haircut. Who says that? Get a haircut. Go fuck yourself. Get a haircut. I don't even have a New York accent. I don't know why I've been doing it this whole show. I'm from Nevada. Fuck you guys. Fuck, oh yeah, this is terrible. What else is going on? So when I was, this is the last one. I'm gonna fucking go kill myself after. So when I was 13, my family and I were going to a wedding. And I was like 10. Family and I were going to a wedding. I didn't have a suit, okay? I said the 13 was the other joke. This one's 10, okay? It's a very subtle difference. A lot of different stuff going on. Not as many pubis. So when I was 10, I went to Nordstrom's with my family to buy a suit for myself because we were going to a wedding. And I just started at public school. And my parents, they've lived in Europe. They're from abroad. I asked them, I said, You know, guys, I was wondering, could we get some boxer shorts? Because I just started public school, and in public school you have to change before the gym, and everyone's been calling me a gay because I wear bikini briefs. That's what my parents provided me with. They're Europeans. That's what they provided me with. They're a very sensible cut. A sensible cut. My dad didn't understand. He said, no. Why? Why does a boy care about his underwear? It's a good point. It's a good point. In retrospect, excellent point. Dad, they're just gay. They're just gay. You don't understand. I don't even know what gay is. I'm just being told that they're gay. And also the kids in public school, they would wear these tank tops. These, like, form-fitting white tank tops. And and they would wear them, like, underneath their T-shirts. So I thought that's what I would, that's what I had to wear as well. So I went up to the woman at the boys' underwear counter. First of all, how do you get that job? What has led you to that position in life? Boys' underwear specialist. And I says to her, I says, excuse me, ma'am, do you have any wife beaters? My dad yanked me out of the store. So wife beaters, what the fuck is a wife beater? I said, it's the name of the tank top. It's a very strange, aggressive name for a tank top. I'm going to go leave this place right now. This is a very bad place. This stage. These lights. I'm gone, guys. I'm gone. I'm going to a place where people appreciate me. The Williams. The Williams in the soil. That's who will appreciate me, the Williams. I'm going to be Woym food. Clap! Keep clapping! Did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Whatever.
You didn't have to do that much material.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Let me tell you guys something. Normally, I mow them down. Mow them down. Everyone in the audience pissing their pants, changing underpants. On a rare occasion, I die, okay? And by die, I mean get a lot of laughs, okay? I don't want tequila. What am I? There's something incredibly beautiful in public death, let me tell you. It is baptismal. Failure in a public forum like this, in a very strange, awkward, artistic medium that's just weird. I don't like comedy. I just do it because I have to. Because my parents put too much pressure on me. And now I'm trying to make strangers impressed. What?
I feel like you finally understand what I've been telling you about for years.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't go well. Listen, guys, there's a 1% for everything. Me, socioeconomic 1%. Being bad at comedy, 1% as well. Normally, I'm fucking excellent, guys. Have you guys heard of Dane Cook? Like, that times two. Maybe times three. They didn't even get a Dane Cook reference.
You're not gonna win.
That was the joke. That was the joke. He's a bad comic. Oh, you sound like my mom. Adam, I think you're charming, but, like, I just don't understand why you had to talk about rape in the butt for so much. It is a good point. Ask a question.
How long have you been doing stand-up now? That was your biggest laugh.
Yeah, you guys are a burp and fart demographic. I'm really upset I didn't do well. Go fucking watch a King's of fucking... What are they called?
Queens.
The blue-collar shitheads. Go see the guy with the puppets. Go hang out with that guy. I know that's the kind of comedy you want.
When did you turn into Bill Burr?
What the fuck are you doing? I don't know. Maybe this is funny. I don't know. I'm a very nice person. I pay my taxes, my student loans.
This has been the closest you've ever been to being me.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
I like the darkness.
It's not, don't be dark anymore. They didn't laugh when you were being dark.
I don't know, man. It's a hot day. It's like, it's kind of like the day from, what's that Spike Lee movie?
Do the right thing.
Yeah, I feel like something racist is about to happen. You never know when the weather's so hot. Thank you.
You've given me zero to work with, Adam. What's your dream?
My dream is to be happy.
All right. You got half of it done. You want this shot, man?
What is it?
It's tequila.
Ugh.
I'll give it to you. Here you go.
Do you want to body shot it? Do you want to body shot it?
Are you shooting it off me or am I shooting off you?
You're shooting it off of him.
We're putting our belly buttons together. And then Brandon's going to drink it from both of our belly buttons.
No.
So we're doing that again.
Or we can do for it, because today's very hot, we can pour it down your butt crack. And then Brandon can just have a straw. All right. For me, this is hilarious. You guys are, listen, Andy Kaufman broke ground because the audience was part of the bit. You guys are doing great. Let me tell you, you guys are doing wonderfully. You guys are hilarious to me. I might not be hilarious to you. More sandwich jokes? What should I do for these people? I'm sorry,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, this is a weird one.
I feel
one.
Like I should apologize.
You definitely should. It's been a weird one.
Are you
going
to cut this from the podcast?
No, I'm keeping it all.
This has been the most depressing show.
Oh, fuck yeah, obviously.
Depressing politics and then depressing Jewish angst.
Wow.
Why did I talk about my penis for so long? That was
I thought
off
that was
script.
A wonderful tag.
You told me to. That's right. I got it.
You got a call back from the audience.
I made the joke, so. Stockton to Malone, okay? Pippin to Jordan. He's on fire. I'm on fire right now. Brandon, what's your dream?
This.
Really? I don't understand why they're still sitting here.
I don't either. I'm shocked by this.
It's weird. Is this a strange, like, sedentary, like, well, we're here already.
It's hot outside.
It's hot outside. Might as well stick it out. For another 20 minutes. Listen, I have no plans to leave this stage. This is like the movie Speed, okay? You guys are fucking stuck here. And by the way, not Speed 1, Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Starring.
Not Keanu.
Jason Patrick.
And I'm pretty sure they wrote that script for Keanu and couldn't get him. Because he's like, I'm not acting in this piece of shit. So they just erased his name and put some other white guy in it.
Jason Patrick.
By the way, that boat was going so slowly. It was going 15 knots. Whatever. I watched it recently on HBO.
Yeah, how was it? Does it
hold
up?
The scene where it hits the city, the boat hits the city. You guys can leave. I'm talking to Brent.
No.
The scene where the boat hits the city lasts for 45 minutes.
That's pretty cool.
It's just and it's like Keystone Cops style comedy. They would probably love it.
Do you want to read
it's
the script
like a,
right now?
A guy eating a sandwich and then a boat coming. I'm like, oh no, it's a boat.
Speed.
That was gold.
To script.
That was gold.
Here we go.
Hey, you guys excited about healthcare reform? It was the shittiest possible bill. Congrats, America. It's an inside job.
Let's read this scene.
It's an inside job.
Speed 2. You play the role of Jason Patrick. I'll play the role of Sandra Bullock, okay?
Can I play it as Keanu?
Yeah, yeah. How did we get here?
I don't know. Must have been my motorcycle stunt. Didn't pay off, so I had to buy you a cruise liner ticket so we could have a romantic weekend on the sea. And besides, the title suggests the pilot revolves around the cruise liner out of control.
I guess I'm with you instead of Keanu now. You're a cop, right?
Yeah, I'm a cop.
That was like Keanu doing Beavis and Butthead. It's very layered.
As were the other 12 boyfriends. Okay, done. And scene.
That's Keanu. What do you guys, what else do you want?
We gotta move the show on, man.
Mark Wahlberg? All right,
we'll do the yeah, do Mark.
This is my impersonation of a Mark Wahlberg movie.
You know, you've been on stage for 30 minutes.
I don't
right?
give a fuck. They're still sitting here. What is wrong with you people? Do you self-flagellate? You're clearly not enjoying. Okay. Mark Wahlberg movie. Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Hey, I'm a criminal from Boston. But that life's just not me anymore. Ring, 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 ring. Hello? Oh my God, you got my wife? But that life's not me anymore. And scene, thank you. Mark Wahlberg. That was a terrible impersonation. I'm done, I'm leaving.
You've been done for 20 fucking minutes, yeah. man.
You wanna cut this?
No, I'm not. This is, I'm gonna move it to the top of the show.
Don't tag me on this on Instagram or whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, give them your ears, give them your eyes, put your hands together for Harris Faze!
You were here first, early endings. The stories I tell end before they start. Used to know you, used to love you. You slipped back in my life, and now you're tearing out my heart again. Another crashing man, a race not to lose a friend. Just keep facing forward and don't look back. You know it could destroy it, but you wanna see what could have been. Up goes the ending, draw back the veil. Was this how the story went? Oh, well, yes, I think so. And down falls the veil. Up goes the ending again. I see you traveling the world in a fan in the old city walls, in Brooklyn, Chicago, or far, far east. I'm young and unprofessional, so put me in the driver's seat. Up goes the ending, draw back the veil. Was this how the story went? Oh, well, yes, I think so. And down falls the veil. Up goes the ending again. Hey, yeah. Up goes the ending again. Turn around, but stand your ground. I'll meet you there. and lost and found. I'm a walk in the park for you, so push me round the bend. Minutes, I'm staring out the back hatch of the van, and I see flashes in the distance. The gods are snapping pictures of the ground they've covered far too fast again. Up goes the ending, draw back the veil. Was this how the story went? Well, yes, I think so. Down falls the veil. Up goes the ending again. Up goes the ending again. Turn around, but stand your ground. I'll meet you there. Lost and found. I'm a walk in the park for you, so push me round the bend. I'm a walk in the park for you, so push me round the bend. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Thanks. How you guys doing? All right, all right. I got some fans from out of town here tonight, so I'll try to put on a good show. Texas prime, it sticks at the county line. He was free, he had everything. He raised hell, he smoked a few. He grew addicted to the blues and grew up, forgot how to sing. Woke up on a plane, thinking of my greatest fears. You'd rather lose both your ears. I left home before he packed. I strapped a road bike across the back and drove west without anything. Yes, God, you got my back. I left notes between the cracks of the walls and long for open range. While we jammed on Skinner for tips inside a coffee bar. While we dueled over final notes but never got too far. Play again. Oh, yeah. Oh, we made. take a walk, my friend. Oh, when we walk to find our peace of mind. He walks alone with the redwoods while I stroll past institutions of state. Oh, when we walk to find our peace of mind. He walks alone with the redwoods while I stroll past institutions of state. Oh, and we walk off. If you're an old school picker swept under the rug, and I'm every classic rock guitar unplugged. Was born in Texas prime, it sticks at the county line. He was free, he had everything. He was free, he had everything.
All right. Some of you here may know the words to this song. It goes like this.
You'll be alright, sugar plum. I heard a voice. You'll find some peace when she's gone. And you have no choice. You'll be alright, sugar plum. You'll be alright, I heard a voice. You'll find some peace when she's gone. And her outline stays, and she fades, and we're moving, moving on. And these days are gone.
All right.
Well, I've been practicing. To sing goodbye. And I've gotten down the part where you turn around, walk back inside, but I'm feeling paranoid. I feel let down. My life's evaporating. We're out of tune. Want someone comfort me. He'll be alright. Sugar plum. Oh, I heard a voice. You'll find some peace when she's gone. And you have no choice. Can I deal with letting go? I'm asking your advice now. Just to see her one more time. Tell the truth. It's no longer 5:43. It's all myth to me. I'm taking your last CD. Around the world, won't someone comfort me? He'll be alright, sugar plum. Oh, I heard a voice. You'll find some peace. Oh, and she's gone. And you have no choice. You'll be alright, sugar plum. You'll be alright. I heard a voice. You'll find some peace. Oh, and she's gone. And her outline stays as she fades. And we're moving, moving on. And these days are gone. Well, the light on the edge looks like all of our days are sewn in to one. And I'm out on a ledge like a match that's lit under the sun. Oh, oh, oh. I'll sing your last wish to sleep and eat mashed ice cream and stay infatuated. She's just a girl who wants someone comforting me. He'll be alright, sugar plum. Oh, I heard a voice, you'll find some peace when she's gone. And you have no choice, you'll be alright, sugar plum. You'll be alright, I heard a voice, you'll find some peace when she's gone. And her outline stays as she fades, and we're moving, moving on. And these days are gone.
All right.
Take me out of Kansas, let's get hitched in July. You can be my bride and I'll be the other bride. Let's make it official. Can't you tell we've been married all along? I've loved you as my other half for so damn long. We've raised a lovely daughter, sure don't think there's nothing wrong with her. Yeah, let's make it official. Can't you tell we've been married all along? Can't you feel the rolling waves of change? No institute or government will ever stand in our way. Let's make it official. Can't you tell we've been married all along? I'd marry you 1,000 times. Call it what you want, we've been engaged our whole damn lives. Let's make it official. Can't you tell we've been married all along? Can't you tell we've been married? Can't you tell we've been married? Take my hand, so we can already have been married all along.
All right, before I do this last song, I'm just going to do some plugs. If you don't know me, my name is Harris Face. You can find me at harrisfacemusic.com. My next show in D.C. is at Axum's Lounge on July 13th. And my next show in Chicago, for Brandon's Chicago listeners, is on July 29th at Uncommon Ground. And I have a new CD out called How the Story Goes. This song is on it. Anita is also on it, and she's going to sing some harmonies with me. This is for everyone who's had a very weird week. I know I have. Just know, soon it'll be last week, and then it'll be last month, and then it'll be last year. And we'll forget. This song's called How the Story Goes. It's called Cotton Clouds and Gold. I'm tired.
if I had a little time, I'd put the universe in line, and I'd tear down the spheres of the world and build a ladder to the sky. And if you drag me back to bed, I'd just start babbling in blue and red. And I'd turn on MSNBC, watch people say what should be said. I watch a China dress, I watch my own boss walk the plane. Hourglasses start to crack, everything I care about turns black. I stand back so I can see, it's all just a spectacle to me. Cause tomorrow floats like cotton clouds, but today still weighs like gold. And we'll forget how the story goes. The story goes. The story goes. Knocked on doors till evening fell, but never thought to ring the bell. Can't you just say yes or no? Cotton or gold, open, closed, but don't leave me hanging. I can manage that myself. You're running circles around me as I still sit here in D.C. And this game's not as fun on my own, though I know you're there. And the Hudson River's rising tonight, you can see it pop, it'd be such a sight. Now I'm pulling on the drawbridge string for the anchor to the ship beneath. Don't move me, it's my right to let it go. It's my right to let things go. Cause tomorrow floats like cotton clouds, but today still weighs like gold. And we'll forget how the story goes. The story goes. The story goes. Cause tomorrow floats like cotton clouds, though today still weighs like gold. And we'll forget how the story goes. The story goes. The story goes.
Thank you guys very much. Thanks to Brandon. Thanks to Wonderland.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful night.